Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hey everyone, happy Wednesday and welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your host Amelia. And it's just me this week. Unfortunately, Beth is suffering a migraine right now, but you know what? The show must go on, so I'm here. I'm ready. You won't get the fun banter, but you will get the ghosts. Please feel free to send Beth good energy, good vibes, good prayers, a good DM on Instagram, hoping she feels better for next week. So this week, what I'm going to talk about is the Peter Oliver House down in Middleborough, Massachusetts. We had the tremendous opportunity to go out there with the Boston Paranormal Investigators. Thank you so much to Barry Corbett and everyone else for extending the invitation to us. Unfortunately, Beth, with her crazy schedule last minute, was unable to attend. So I scrambled around a little bit. I reached out to a whole bunch of friends. I contacted my friend James, who you all heard on our Beverly Haunted Mansion episode. And he was so cool about it. He was like, yeah, I mean, I have some stuff to do. If you really don't want to go alone, like, yeah, I could probably swing it. I was like, that'd be awesome, whatever. But I kind of got the feeling he didn't really want to come. So then luckily, in the nick of time, one of my other friends was like, hey, yeah, no, that sounds cool. Let's go. And that was especially interesting for me because the person I went with does not believe in ghosts. Crazy, right? I know. But he actually ended up having more spookiness happen to him than I did. So we're going to get to that a little later in this episode. Right now, we're going to go through and take a look at the history of the Peter Oliver House down in Middleborough. It has a fascinating history. If you're an American history buff, you're really going to enjoy this. I'm sure Beth is really feeling sad she's missing out because I'm always the one complaining, oh my goodness, Beth, there's too much history involved in your stories. We need more ghosts. But this story actually has a lot of history in it. So I'm going to talk about that right now. Okay, so Peter Oliver was born in Boston in March 26, 1713 to well-known parents. He graduated from Harvard College in 1730. Now, please note, Harvard College is different than Harvard University. If you're not from this part of the country, you might not know that Harvard University is located right by where we record in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And Harvard College is located out in western Massachusetts by Smith College and UMass Amherst, New Hampshire, and all those cool places. So he went there. He co-ran a Boston importing business with his brother Andrew for several years, although his interests were in science and literature. Oliver bought an ironworks in Middleborough, Massachusetts in 1744. This company made household items made of cast iron as well as cannonballs. With the profits from his company, Oliver built Oliver Hall, described as one of the most elegant residences in all of colonial New England. Peter Oliver was also a Chief Justice of the Superior Court of the province of Massachusetts Bay from 1772 to 1775. He was a loyalist during the American Revolution and left Massachusetts in 1776, settling in England. Oliver departed the colonies when the British evacuated troops and loyalists from Boston. He was named in the Massachusetts Banishment Act of 1778. Oliver sailed first to Nova Scotia and later to England and lived there until his death on October 12, 1795. Okay, so Oliver Hall was one of the biggest estates in all of Massachusetts. His family had a tremendous amount of money to begin with, and then Peter went on and made so much more. So with his large amount of money, he also built these two other mansions that are significantly smaller than the hall he created, but they are quite beautiful. One of those he gave to his son, Peter Oliver Jr., and that's the home we investigated. The reason we didn't do the Peter Oliver Hall is because it's actually burnt down by colonialists. This was a really heated time in this part of the country in the 1700s. We were trying to separate ourselves from England. A lot was going on, especially here in Massachusetts, to kind of set things off for that. And this was a very wealthy family with very strong-held loyalist beliefs to Britain. It was very controversial. That happened. He gave one of the homes to his son, Peter Oliver Jr., and he lived there with his family for a long time. It kind of got passed down through generations. Some other people bought it. The Oliver family still, to this day, has a tremendous amount of money, and they were actually able to buy it back. They did a lot of preservation. The town of Middleborough has now purchased some of it, and the caretakers, interesting, this is very interesting, are actually paranormal researchers just like us. So there's a lot of mediums working there and volunteering. A lot of people just trying to get the story straight, figure out all the ghosts that are there. This place is very, very haunted. It is haunted. So my friend and I, we actually arrived a little late in true Amelia fashion. We had a little party we had to go to right before and then shot down to Middleborough, which is about 45 minutes away from where I live. So we arrived probably around 9:30 p.m. We stayed till midnight. It was very cool. And a good friend of the show, Tenny Kumar, who we've previously heard on here before, she's a very powerful psychic medium and she is a witch and she runs a spiritualist church here in Massachusetts. She had been there before me and she had her Ouija board out and was doing readings on that. And if you've listened to our show before, you know, Beth and I are very concerned about people using Ouija boards. We think they can bring in a lot of things that don't want to be brought in. We both feel that it's one of those things that you really have to know what you are doing if you're going to do it. So please keep in mind when you hear the story and hear about Tenny or other people using Ouija boards, they're very trained. I mean, I trust Tenny, you know, implicitly. I mean, she's a great person. She does this work all the time. She's very professional. She knows exactly what she's doing. I just want to say that up front, and whatever everyone wants to do, that's your own business, but please always be careful. Okay, so anyway, here is Tenny talking to us a little bit about what she experienced, some of her medium feelings she got while she was up there, and kind of a little bit about how the night went for her. So here we go. Okay, so Tenny, do you want to tell me a little bit about what you got off your Ouija board?
Well, I can tell you a couple other things, too. What my impression was when I got out of my car, I've never been there to Oliver House, nor have I read anything about it, because that's the nice thing about this is I don't read up on the properties, and I haven't spent any time going to locations like this. Actually, prior to joining Boston Paranormal a couple of years ago, So the first impression I got when I got out of my car was I felt like I saw a mob of people on the outside of the house, you know, like a fight that happened there or a couple of fights. And I said to myself, okay, could this be Indians with the American settlers or could it be patriots against the Tories? I didn't know. And then when I was walking around the house, I was hearing various things said to me. I felt about five or six spirits talking to me throughout the house. One of them said to me that there was a small fire in the house that didn't do that much damage. Another woman said to me, this was the birthing room on one of the upstairs floors. I also, in the backyard, I felt like there was a grave site nearby on as you walk into the backyard over to the right of the side back in the woods that wasn't not marked or was overgrown, a significant graveyard somewhere behind the house. I also felt I had a man that I was sensing in the building himself who was angry as hell that he lost his political position in the area, like he lost an election. He was talking about it. He was really upset about it. When I was upstairs in the children's room, I felt absolute happiness. I've got really good vibes out of there, like really happy kids. Overall, I like the vibe of the house, you know, a lot of the energy there. You know, even though it's quite haunted, I was actually found it pleasant, at least for me, it was pleasant. And I also, you know, of course, was feeling like a couple of deaths. But the aggressive scene I saw outside the house, I couldn't quite put my fingers on. I also felt that there was another house, either it was that one or another house located right near it that was built 70 years prior to the American Revolutionary War, and I've not been able to confirm that. I did find out there was another house near there, the Oliver Hall, H-A-L-L. So when I spoke to the woman who was there, I guess she's the curator or one of the volunteers. Her name is Christy, and she's also a psychic medium, too. She confirmed a lot of the impressions that, like, I had on it as being accurate. There was a small fire, actually, in the attic space, as she said, and apparently there's two very angry male ghosts there about the political scene that was going on, and not just one. So one of our members, Gina, showed up, and when we do the board, it works very, very well. Another person took a video film. It went on for like 45 minutes. Now, I don't know if she's downloaded it. She used the cell phone to like film it, this activity, this conversation with a ghost named Andrew Oliver went on for 45 minutes. And the first thing I remember him saying is, I'm a good Christian man. He wanted to make it clear that he was a good Christian man, even though he was doing this, working the board. And eventually, as things unfolded, he was really angry that America fought a war and got its independence from Britain. He was apparently a Tory, and he was really insistent about this. And he said one of the best things America could do would be to rejoin Britain now. It was crazy. Anyway, he was very heavy-handed, and he moved the planchette around really, really fast. Gina was the one who was filming us on the camera. Anyway, that's what happened, and he was explaining his life and his failures. And at the very end, I like to ask these, especially these people who are his historical figures, what could they recommend for America at this point? You know, what predictions would they like to make? And of course, he was still the complete flaming Tory and said that, you know, we should be under the British crown, because this is one of the first things he said when he came on the board was, I'm a good Christian man and God save the king. He didn't say queen, he said the king. A couple of the predictions that he did say at the very end for America, he said that we can expect to have a large migration of people out of the American Southwest due to water problems and intense heat. That was very interesting. You know, it would probably be areas like Arizona and locations like that. He talked about world changes, and he did say at the time that the American government, as it is right now, is, you know, experiencing a lot of corruption, and he did bring that up. But like I said, he was still talking from a perspective of being a British citizen. The history is that they were ran out of their home back to England. That's what the history of the family that initially was in that house. And there was several Olivers. I think there was Peter, and this man was Andrew. He had originally been the lieutenant governor. And very large, and the Oliver Hall initially was burnt down to like the ground by the American patriots. So it was interesting to find that a lot of what I picked up on is true. Christie also said that there was a Native American burial site back behind the house where a lot of the local Native Americans had died of, smallpox or something like that, which, as we know from history, was a real problem. They were put in like a mass grave. That might be what I was picking up on. I didn't exactly have any insect spray to go climbing around through the woods, nor did I take the time, because I got there at like 5 and I left at, I don't know, about like 8 or 9, I think. There may be a couple of graves back there, like a family grave, that could be possible, because it is a 50-acre parcel. So all that was very, very interesting.
Well, that is interesting. That's awesome. You got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff confirmed, too.
Yeah, especially when you've got a person who is a volunteer or a curator of one of these antique historical sites, who is another psychic medium, too. And apparently she has gone into depth researching and reading up on the property. The Andrew Oliver on the board told me to tell her that she was one of the family's daughter-in-laws, that she had previously lived there. You know, because this building goes back to, what I think, 1769, right before the Revolutionary War. What's interesting about Christie is that she's from Tennessee, and she has a very thick Southern accent. But she is totally magnetically drawn to this location and this building. She moved up here to work because this is where her job brought her. But boy, did she end up there. So here you go. So it's all the way around. It's interesting. It was interesting, you know, not reading up on the property, showing up, walking around, getting my impressions, finding out that the bulk of them was true. Most of them were true. I hope to go back there and continue doing the board because it was the spirits were very happy to like talk. I imagine that there would be many of them that would like come through. Just the fact that this third incident, this curator who's there, Christie, is aware of a lot what's going on. So it's all very, very interesting. It's a fascinating sight. One reason why I think the spirits are really very active there, there's a lot of spirits in that building inside and out, is because it has been allowed to remain as large of a parcel as it is. I think it's located right near Route 44, where you could hear like a lot of traffic, but it's been allowed to be wooded and to remain as it is. And the family that owned it took steps for that. They conveyed it to the town, I think, just a couple of years ago, maybe like 3 years ago, and it was restored in the 1940s. So we're very lucky to have this gem. Oh, yeah, another woman there told me about losing two children in a row, two children dying in like a row. She confirmed that. She confirmed that one woman had 14 kids. So when I heard the word birthing room, that must have been the case. You know, she confirmed several things, and a lot of them were like her own impressions. Also, as another medium and psychic, she is involved with or started her own group, both in the southern part of the United States and I think already up here too. However, there's been a long history of that property with a lot of people living there and large families, because it's a big building. It's a big building. It's probably like, what do you think it is, about 3,500 plus square feet living space? Yeah, it's big.
It's certainly big, yeah.
So you got a lot of family history there, a lot of spirits, and eventually the Olivers did purchase it back, and they are still a very wealthy family. Yeah. Now as I'm remembering, as I was walking through the building too, I heard somebody tell me we made our money in Maritime, and when I got that information on the board too, I didn't want to ask, was it slaves? I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to get into that energy current. However, Christy confirmed to me later on that it was goods. Goods and textiles. It wasn't human slaves. But that was interesting, too. That was confirmed by her, that the family in Boston did initially make their money that way. And apparently the money still exists within that family. So that's it.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Tenny. I really appreciate you doing this.
Okay, take care.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So cool. Thank you, Tenny. That was awesome. Tenny's such a great person and just a phenomenal delight and an inspiration to me in so many ways, not only when it comes to ghost hunting, but just how she lives, and her whole story is amazing. If you ever, ever have a chance to do an investigation with the Boston Paranormal Investigators, please find a couple minutes just to talk to Tenny. She's so cool. Okay, back to the story. So like I said, the staff was also there, and they were great and helpful and cool. It's a volunteer staff. They're raising money to do restorations on the place and find out more of the history of it. And I snuck them off to the side to try to get their best ghost stories, because they're paranormal investigators too. So first, we're going to hear from Christy and what she has to say about it. And she has such a delightful accent too. Not only that, but Christy runs the tours there at the Peter Oliver House. So if you have the chance to swing on by and want to catch a glimpse of some ghouls on your own, stay tuned for one of her tours, because it was amazing and interesting. And you learn so much, not only about history, but about spookiness. And it's very, very cool. It's totally worth the trip. All right, here we go. So what's your name?
I'm Christy J. Parrish.
All right. And what do you do here?
I'm the event coordinator and the ghost tour manager for the Oliver Estate.
Very cool. So what's your best personal ghost story here?
Well, as you're looking around, that you see a lot of these battery-operated candles. We use those because the energies here are very comfortable with that. Kind of reminds them of their time, I guess. It's not threatening to them. I remember I had locked up, and there had been a group that had been in the house, and I locked up, and I had everything dark in the house, and went out to my car, and I looked up, and up in the bathroom window, one of the candles had turned back on. So I unlocked the house. I come into the house, and I travel up, and I turn these are remote controls, so I start turning on the candles, and I make my way all the way upstairs into the space where the candle was on, and I turn it off and make my way back around downstairs to put the remotes back up on the thing. But on my ascension down the stairs, when I got to the top landing, right outside the hallway, as I turned the candle off, there was a man that said to me, "You came back." Just like there was a person here. He said, as a matter of factly, like, "You came back." And it was almost like you didn't want to turn around. You're in a house by yourself. and there's a person that's standing right there in that doorway that's talking to you, just like he was just as solid as you and me.
Oh my gosh. The voice
was very clear. So I was like, and then I made my way down the stairs and out of the house pretty quickly. I turned everything off and went back out to my car. As I got to my car, I made that decision. I was like, you know what? It's a AA battery. Big deal. They can turn them on all they want. I'm not going to get back in there by myself again with something that has a voice that's that strong. So I think that one kind of resonates with me. I've seen a lot through the years. We've had pictures that have been knocked off of the wall. You know, if we're having a heated discussion about something and the energies don't want that kind of negativity or anything in the house, and they'll knock something down or make a loud sound. And so there's that. As far as apparitions and things like that, we've got some pretty cool video footage where we've actually recorded an apparition that's raising up out of the floor and is making its way up and manifesting as it's going up the steps. So we call that like our little holy grail. It includes, you know, from the, you can see through it to where you can't see through it. And then you hear the electronic voice phenomena as it reaches the top of the steps where this woman interacts with her children.
So what did the EVP say?
We're not quite sure. We just know that you hear these kids talking and then you hear this woman responding. And whenever we've had people who have had abilities look at the video, they say their main impression is that this woman is going upstairs to check on her children because there's strange people in the house. She's hearing voices. So she's just making sure that they're okay. And so the Oliver House is an amazing place to be and to work. And it's been a passion of ours for 3 years now, to where all the money is going to preserve the house, to renovate it, and bring it back to its glory days. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of dedication, a lot of loyalty.
Beautiful. Very beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yes, we take care of it. It's kind of like our home away from home project. Mm. And all the volunteers that work here have been in the paranormal field for many, many years. So we all bring something or a technique to the table that's a little bit different from each other, but all together we just gel, and the house is very happy with that. The people who we're investigating here are very pleased with that, and they're comfortable with us, and they know that they can trust that we're going to keep any negative element out of here, away from their safe place, their safe haven.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gosh, don't you just love her accent? I do. Anyway, yeah, so the house now, how it stands, is it's like a museum house. There are still beds in there from that era. There are signs explaining stuff. There's a lot of cool things. They have it lit up with electronic candles. It is spooky, but it is. It's a good feeling when you're in there. There's actually a little spot in one of the rooms where you can see someone etched into the wall the year it was made. And they kind of explained to us on the tour when they were doing the restorations, they found this, and it was so cool and it was so interesting. What's really interesting is how many full-bodied apparitions are going on in this place. It's mind-blowing. Seeing a full-bodied apparition is so rare. And having a full-body apparition be able to speak to you is even rarer. And that seems to occur quite often in this house. Because not only did we have that account from Christy, we also have an account from another volunteer, another paranormal investigator who works there. Her name is Chris. And she's going to tell us her story right now.
We've both been here about three years. And early on, just before July 4th, we did a Ghost of the Revolution tour. So we were all dressed up in colonial outfits with the hats and the whole nine yards. So we had about 25 people here. I get kind of weird in crowds. Like I just hear too much, so I have to kind of walk away from it. So they were up in the Peter Oliver room, and I just had to get out of the room for a minute. So I walked through the best closet into Harry's room and collected myself. I walked back through the closet. I looked to my left, and there's a girl dressed just like us. And I thought it was Christy in the closet. I'm like, why the hell is Christy hiding in the clothes in the closet? And I look back at her and I realized it wasn't Christy. And at that moment, I was just like, okay, I have a split second to figure out this.
Do I tell 25 people in that room that I have a full body apparition in front of me and risk them all running into the closet or trying to run out of the house? And I turned back to the girl and she looked at me and she went like this. And she took one step back and into the wall, she disappeared.
That's spooky.
The next night we came back, we had a private tour coming in. So before they showed up, we did a quick burst session for EVP. And we actually found out her name that night. Her name is Julie. And she was the chambermaid for Peter Oliver.
That's incredible.
She was as solid as I'm looking at you right now. And I honestly thought it was her.
That's very spooky.
Yeah. What's your spooky story, Christy?
I already tell mine.
Oh, she gave me one. Nice. Well, that was great. Thank you so much, Chris. Oh,
you're welcome.
Wild and weird and fun and so cool in so many ways. Yeah, thank you so much, Christy and Chris, for giving me those interviews and for doing what you do over there. It's such an interesting, cool place. Okay, so a couple of my impressions on being there and seeing what was up was my friend and I, we walk in and there are all these people on Ouija boards, which kind of freaked me out a little bit, but it was cool. I felt good vibes. It was fine. And they were talking to a young girl who had been there and she wanted to go for walks. And they started going walking around the property. We went into another room with some people who had more of like the ghost hunting technical equipment going on. We had a lot of EVPs going. Boston Paranormal Investigators told me they're still working through that, so we weren't able to get those in time for this episode. You know, we all had our K2s out, other kinds of things. Spirit boxes were going. It was just like a cool, wild time. And I personally wasn't picking up on that much. Maybe like my spidey senses were a little dulled down. I don't know. What I found really interesting was that while I was getting those interviews, my friend, he was walking around the house, kind of investigating, looking at the history. Like I said, he doesn't really believe in ghosts. So then, you know, we meet back up and I'm like, so what do you think? And he's like, someone was like staring at me in a room upstairs. Like I could just feel eyes on me upstairs in one of the bedrooms. So he's telling this to me and I'm like, wow, do you believe in ghosts finally? And he's like, not totally convinced. But I think he does. So anyway, then we tell it to some of the other women who are there running the place and the other Boston Paranormal Investigators, like, we have, like, these spooky feelings going on in this bedroom. And it was a woman's bedroom up there, one of the wives. So they kind of all had separate rooms. And everyone was very interested in this fact that, you know, my friend had this feeling of being kind of watched and feelings of people walking near him and stuff like that because he is from England and has a very thick English accent. Now, why is that relevant? Well, it is relevant because if you were listening to me at the top of this show, you'll remember that these people were British loyalists. So wouldn't it make total sense that out of everyone there, he's going to be the one that these people want to interact with the most because he's from England. He's from the motherland. Like, they didn't care about me, some dumb American girl. Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting, so cool. And just a wild time, you know, they got so much out of that. And I actually had some follow-up emails with Barry Corbett, lead investigator for Boston Paranormal Investigators. They actually got a really cool image that I'm going to be posting on our website of using a thermal camera. You can see in it two people standing, and then it's picking up on something in the background. It's hard to tell exactly what it is. So I would love it if you guys were going to put it on our Instagram, our Facebook, it's going to be up on our website, can kind of give us a little insight into exactly what that is. You know, I was walking into Somerville Media Center where we record today, and there was this gorgeous, unbelievable orange sunset in the sky, and it was kind of windy, and I was drinking my lemon ginger tea. I was like, it's coming. Fall is coming. It's coming all around us. What's better than fall in New England? And one of the things Beth and I have been kind of talking about and mulling around in our heads is getting kind of a listener group together and going somewhere. And I think the Peter Oliver House, like a ghost hunting in New England style investigation with some of our listeners would be a really, really cool idea. So if you're listening in the New England area, if that's something that might interest you, just send us a little message or even comment on one of our posts somewhere just saying, hey, that's something I'd be really interested in going to with you guys because a lot of people have reached out to us about investigating with us and it's something we'd really love to do. So please, please, please let me know if that's one of those things that you would really enjoy kind of getting together and doing. You know, we have so many reports out of that home, especially with full-bodied apparitions. I mean, my goodness. So yeah, maybe that could be something we could all look forward forward to. Who knows? So Beth is gone, and I miss her because I was really looking forward to eating donuts with her after work today. But again, so much love and energy to Beth, and hope she starts feeling better, because next week we have a very, very, very cool, very awesome, dare I say, unbelievable guest coming on to our show. And I am so excited. Oh my goodness, I can't wait. You guys are going to really love this. So let's hope Beth is all better for that. I mean, she doesn't let me say what we're going to do on our next show, but I promise you, unbelievable. Wink, wink. So, unfortunately, we're not going to do drive-by ghosting tonight because Beth is our official reader and I don't do nearly as good of a job as her. Beth, we miss you. Please come back. But if you would like to tell a friend about our podcast, that'd be really awesome. We'd love some more listeners. It's getting to spooky season. We want to hear more people's ghost stories. Please tell a friend about our podcast this week. They like it. People like to say they don't believe in ghosts, but everyone has a ghost story. And while you're doing that, feel free to go into the iTunes store, give our podcast a 5-star review. We really like that. It really helps us out a whole bunch. If you don't feel our podcast deserves 5 stars, please send us a private message telling us what we can do to make our show a little bit better for you. As always, thank you to Aaron for composing our theme music. We love it so much. Thank you so much, Aaron. You can find him online at The Aaron Shilb. That's The Aaron Shilb on Instagram. You can check us out Wednesday nights on Boston Free Radio, pumping out of Somerville, Massachusetts. That's Wednesday nights. Please make sure to check out all the other shows done here at the Somerville Media Center. You can find us on Instagram at Ghost Hunting in New England, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland. Hit us up on Twitter, Ghost Hunting NE. Visit our website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. Please subscribe to our website. We'll send you exactly one email every week, just with some images and postings about our latest episode. Or send us an email to ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com or a carrier pigeon here to Somerville Media Center in beautiful, sunny Somerville, Massachusetts. As always, guys, please tip your waitress and happy hunting. Good night.